talk the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPIN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. With a nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Never cease to amaze me.
Porter Wagner. I don't know how the man walked with all all the sequins and stuff on those outfits he had.
Well, he made Dolly Parton. He gave her
it
her
hurt my. It was at the Wheelis and I, QDR, were at the Grand Ole Opry one time, and Porter Wagner was. I think Porter Wagner was there that time, and it was blinding. If he moved a certain way, it would hit you right in the face.
Or how much that thing weighed.
I don't know. That's what I mean. How the man could do that. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. And in case you were wondering what in the world you had jumped into.
The Weekend Gardener accident?
So just stay here. Stay here. Don't tune in anything else. Just stay here for a while. We got another hour. And Andrea Lane is with us. She's a master gardener in the Mitchell County Cooperative Extension Service. In fact, she helped start that Master Gardener program with y'all still have the same extension agent?
Well, as a matter of fact, July 1st, he's leaving. So there will be an opening in Mitchell County for an agriculture or horticulture agent.
Wow, that'd be a nice place to live.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So. I was going to say, wouldn't it? It is, I hope.
Yeah,
it is.
It is I'm sure there'll be plenty of applicants for that, and I hope you get a great one. So there are all kinds of Master Gardener programs around, and I think Johnny Coley's has just started his for this year. I think he's the one, yeah, because Paul's retired, and that's it's a lot of weeks. 16 is it 16 weeks? Something like that, Andrea?
The Master Gardener program?
Yes.
About that. 12 weeks, I believe.
12 weeks.
12 weeks, one day a week for about 4 hours. country.
Yeah.
But do you guys require a test?
Yeah, everybody
gets. There is a test. It's the agent's discretion whether they give the test or not.
Well, that's what scares me.
Some of them are open book.
Yes. Some of them are projects. When I did it,
you can write things down on your wrist, Rufus.
Yeah. Palm of your hand and your wrist, shirt sleeve, zinnia, petunia.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, are the questions like what is a zinnia or zinnia?
Nope.
They're not like that. Are they multiple choice?
A lot of them are multiple choice.
Yeah.
True/false. Yeah.
Well.
I bet they've got to do with something where you do something about the season, the climate, the weather, things like that. I guess you try to figure out what would do best.
Well, the handbook that Mike mentioned earlier, that is our textbook for master gardeners.
And that's where the questions come from, right?
So you don't have questions about calibrations? Tractors traveling at 3 miles an hour. It's a 50-gallon tank.
You don't have bar exam questions, do you? They're tricky.
Yeah. Woo, I hate to take that, too.
I will say, Nelsa, when I did my training in Durham,
okay.
And rather than a test, we had a project. And the project was taking a piece of our landscape and doing a very comprehensive landscape plan for it. Not
okay.
just a plan about where you but like testing the soil, what's the texture, what's the pH,
mm-hmm.
how well does it drain, and that was fabulous for learning about gardening and also preparing us to ask people who in the public how to ask them the right questions and to discern.
That was part of your test?
With their plan.
Yeah.
That was our final project. Yeah.
That's like Eagle
Gosh.
Scouts.
You have a
project.
I still have my binder,
I mean, I think I think that's one of the best forms of educating and learning.
I think so too, because
I really
learn how to do something.
Yeah, you're not just
it's
reading something.
That's why technical schools Wake Tech. That's why they're so wonderful.
Yeah, but I agree, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Andrea, when you said, it helped prepare you to field and answer. Homeowners that are calling in because, being in retail, my staff's like, hey, tell me what's wrong with this. And I'm like, well, stand here and, let's learn together. And just the questions, I mean, it's not a matter of why isn't my plant blooming. There's just so many questions. And you eventually...
There's so many factors, like you said earlier.
Yes, and you get... you
are unique.
And you end up getting to the root of the problem, no pun intended.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's why I've never understood why the Bar Association, why lawyers didn't, instead of taking that long bar exam, which really, does it really do you any good? Is it more than just a... an initiation.
Well,
actually do like physicians do, and they don't necessarily have to go 8 more years.
Well, let me tell you one law school.
But, learn to read law like Sam Irvin did and Abe Lincoln.
Well, Campbell Law School is headed that way. They now have extensive hands-on court procedures, hands-on projects that the young students do.
Well, that's the way to do it rather than the Socratic.
Is there any way, there's no question why they have the highest pass rate at Campbell.
No. Right.
It's because they teach people the practical skills
right.
and no more about North Carolina law.
That's so valuable.
Yeah, the dean,
in any walk of life.
Yeah, the dean there is so understanding and knows what he's doing.
And he's a Chitlin Club member.
He certainly is.
Yeah. Well,
and he brags about it. I saw him the other day,
right.
and he bragged about it.
Of course he should. Well, Andrea, that's very interesting. I like who was the extension agent in Durham when you did that?
When I did mine, which is I'm coming up on my 10th anniversary here of a semester gardener, so it was Michelle Wallace who was in.
Oh, Michelle, yeah, and she's from Arizona originally, or New Mexico, somewhere out there
I don't recall, but yeah, she was fabulous, and she wrote the on the handbook. She wrote the chapter on landscape design. That was her.
Oh wow!
Expertise.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, if you have a chance, if you want to give back to the community, and that's it's not just giving back to the Extension Service, it's giving back to the community with the Master Gardener program. There's a Master Gardener. There's a lady. There's a lady with a purple Tesla, who I was I met some time back, but she is a Master Gardener, and she goes out to the farmer's market. I don't know if she goes out every Saturday, but she answers questions, and that is so valuable. And she plus she has a great looking car.
It's purple Tesla.
Purple Tesla, yeah.
Oh man,
and she's a wonderful person. I got a chance to talk to her. The Master Gardeners are so valuable, but it's you know, it's a lot of work.
Does it look like a purple artichoke or
no? It's or it's I don't know.
Eggplant,
maybe a purple zinnia.
Eggplant, maybe. Well, we saw it one time.
We did, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she goes out there a lot.
From our perch at the farmer's market.
Nice, nice lady, and she knows her stuff. So
like an eggplant.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not that dark. Not that dark.
It's more pinkish.
All right.
Some kind of, yeah, somewhere on the spectrum there. Whatever. And it's so good. We were talking about, I have this off the air, I have this, we were talking about drought and hot, and I have this copper, it's a kind of a conical shape, cone shaped.
It's like a vessel. A sconce planter.
It's a vessel. I mean, it's beautiful. It's pure copper. And I put it between the on my garage between the doors. It's brick,
mm-hmm.
And so it's copper on brick. And I'll tell you, it'll fry anything that I put in there. But you're suggesting now Chinese sedum.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try that.
That, or you could even try some type of little miniature agave. Oh yeah, there are. But that probably your better bet would probably be something like the
sedum's
Chinese
great because
sedum.
If it really caught on, it and anchored itself in there and survived.
And that's
would,
the key is
it
is
would flow.
Get it in the fall and get it going and let it get settled through the winter and
okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably part.
All right,
key.
Well that's what I'll do then. But I mean, you know, people have planters. You know, people are worried about all kinds of things. A lot of people are using containers now for vegetables and all of their plants. And you really have to water. We're talking about the ground; you got to water. But gosh, with the containers, they really dry out fast.
On my front porch, I have 4 cement boxes, flower boxes, and I put. I think it's sedum, creeping sedum, several years ago, and I've never put a drop of water on them.
Yeah.
Never. And they've tumbled over the top now and come down cascading about 2 feet. Absolutely beautiful.
All right. Well, that's what I'm going to do then. But let's see. Skip is with us. Skip, how's everything? You all have a garden this year?
At the church, we have, we have a fence, all the plots are fenced now, so we've stopped being bunny food. But in the past,
yeah.
Hey, by the way, just a curiosity question. I had forgotten about writing answers on your wrist and all. Is that
did you used
Rufus
to do that?
Well, I just want to know whether is that why Rufus wore a short sleeve shirt to the bar exam?
Disappearing ink.
They thought
too.
I had a tattoo artist.
Right. I've got one of the 40-plus plots at the garden, and my
that's at Asbury Methodist Church.
Asbury Church,
yeah,
Global Methodist Church. And so I've got eggplant and peppers and squash. The squash succumbed to whatever has been attacking our squash. So now I've got 5 by 15 or 20 feet of plot. And I'd like to plant something, but not something that takes so long to mature that it'll interrupt fall planting. Any thoughts about what I can plant? And, you know, I've looked around for plants. I can buy squash for $1 million a plant, and I was hoping not to do that.
Well, I mean, what I would think is, I know that peppers can take a while, but they're, if you were to buy like a 4-inch pepper plant now, chances are it's going to have flowers and fruit. Jalapenos would do fantastic. Bell peppers would do fantastic. So that's one thought. And, you know, they tend to, once you get them watered and rooted in, to be pretty drought proof. So any type of pepper I think would do well. I think it would be very challenging to try and do squash or zucchini or probably even cucumbers. And you know, if you were going to do cucumbers, you'd probably have to start from seed. And then it's like you say, you have that window where you just don't have the time.
Like to be able to, exactly. Like to be able to come back in the fall and put in broccoli and collards.
Gotcha.
And, stuff, well.
And then if you found, I've seen some places that have pre-potted gallons and even larger tomatoes that are flowering, fruiting.
Yeah, we have so many tomatoes. People have planted so many tomatoes.
Gotcha.
We could take care of Campbell's.
Well, and again, I've seen, try some type of pepper.
That sounds like a good recommendation, especially I hate to spend $10 a plant on plants, but even if I, a little less than that, and they're not just babies, then they might mature before the fall planting season.
That'd be the best $10 you ever spent, Skip.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I do understand. We just took a load to the Salvation Army this morning, almost 200 pounds of stuff. So the garden's
great
in spite of the drought.
All right. Well, Skip, you take her easy there. I hope,
yeah, thank you. Well, no, don't tell me that. I can be lazy all by myself.
Okay. Well,
you tell me
too.
To work hard.
Me too, yeah.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Professor Herb is with us in Durham. Herb, we haven't heard from you for a while.
Good morning, Mike, Rufus, Phil, and Andrea, I believe.
No, it's Nelsa.
It's Nelsa.
Nelsa.
Hello.
So what's going on, Herb? You've been down to Janesville, or what you been doing? You been overseas?
Yes, sir. I've been down there constantly, heading back there this afternoon. All is well, though. All is
good, well. Good, good.
Hot and dry.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, I thought of Rufus at least a couple times last week. I was out, about 90% of my landscape is in containers because of the trees, the maple trees, the olive trees, everything in a pot. And I was watering, and I was like, God, I wonder if I'm getting too old for this, because, I mean, you got to water almost every day in these pots. So, and then I thought about it. I said, well, maybe I'll keep doing it for a while and see how it goes. But Rufus, you know, there's a saying that when some of us are in our second childhood.
Correct. I'm enjoying it.
Yes. And there's a verse that says, when I was a child, I acted as a child. And so it's okay. We can act like a child every once in a while. The other thing I was thinking about was I'm excited about my rose of Sharon, hibiscus.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
For two reasons. One is, when I was in Egypt last month ago, I paid a heavy price for rose of Sharon hibiscus flowers to make tea. And when I got back, I said, oh, my gosh, I could be doing this myself. And I know Ruth has rose of Sharon.
Oh, yes.
Do you make tea out of it?
I have tried before. I'd rather – there's a purveyor out at the farmer's market that does it from the very thing.
Oh, okay.
And Herb, it's pretty good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any medicinal values to it, or
well, depends.
Hibiscus.
You have to drink a lot of. But the other reason I'm excited about Rose of Sharon is because my Rose of Sharon bonsai, which are about about 18 inches or less, are blooming.
They're wonderful. Oh my gosh! I've never even thought of bonsaiing a Rose of Sharon.
Mm-mm. Yep. So I've got a bunch of them out there. and they are going to make me a happy person.
New project, Rufus.
Well, how are you keeping a miniature? Clip, 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 clip.
Keep it or not, Rufus. I brought these from my mother's. They were on...
got about 45 seconds for news.
Simply clip them here. Just simply clip them. And I wasn't sure that they would do it, but I clipped them, and they're blooming.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I hope you, in your watering, you've got a hose you don't have to roll, unroll every day. That's another part about making gardening easier, getting your water system near to where you need to water.
Yeah, that's the problem, my whole yard. Look, y'all have a great day.
You too. Please Thanks, call Herb. Us again soon, Herb.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, one more half hour left on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, 919-860-9783. It's 1029. Beach music this morning. It's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I love it. It's beach time.
I do too. Well, I like it year-round, but...
Yeah, me too.
Put you in the summer mood.
Joseph That's right. Pope and the Tams. They were just... The Embers, the Tams, they were just as big as the Beatles to me back in the 60s.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they were huge.
The Great Pretender.
Yeah. Okay.
Good stuff.
What does that have to do with the Embers or the Tams?
Well, that's another group.
They probably sang it sometime.
That's another group.
The Platters.
The Platters, that's right.
Yeah, they were huge, too. Saw all of them at the Embers Club. Yeah, they were. The Embers Club is a thing. That's where you saw concerts, Dorton Arena, Reynolds Coliseum, and at the Embers Club, especially at Atlantic Beach.
Did you and Melissa go to Red's?
No, I remember I met Red.
Oh yes, I.
Yeah. Well, you know Chuck Wyatt, Wyatt Quarles. I mean that was his jam, was beach music. He still has their event, big show every year at Myrtle Beach, and always has either Embers or Band of Oz or
Wow.
Yeah, he does, sure does.
Yeah, well, good for him. Another reason I like him.
There you go.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Big John in a while. What's wrong with you, Big John?
That's right. He's the beach music guy.
He's it.
He's eating breakfast.
Well, now he travels to the countryside.
Looking for the best
Pam's
breakfast.
Pam's, Watkins.
Farmer's Market Restaurant.
He occasionally will get a Bojangles.
Uh-huh.
Because they make pretty decent biscuits, really.
Yeah.
And he loves to go down to Rocky Mount.
To Dorch's.
To Dorch's and... Bring back that link sausage.
Yeah. I love that place.
Mm. Now you have to buy the whole ham, I think, to get ham down there now. But yeah. It's worth it. You can give it away. Buy a whole ham and give it away to people. Yeah. Give it away to friends.
I would have to with all the salt in it. It kills me.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a ham biscuit and nothing like all that salt in it to kill you.
Everything in moderation.
Yep, you got to die something, Rufus.
Oh,
well, country ham? I don't.
I believe in excess.
He was killed by a country ham.
Oh boy, said I believe in moderation in excess.
Well, that's what you claim Socrates said, but. Oh me, we do jest on this show. So, go ahead.
This old boy, same thing, said, what do you call a handcuffed man? He said, know what? Trustworthy.
Rufus in a little jail joke this morning.
Yeah.
Little law enforcement joke. Well, I don't know. You're heading to the beach and... Rufus, yes. You heading to take a nap?
I'm headed to take a nap.
I don't know where I'm headed. I'm going to see Sweet Melissa.
I get the pork chops at Farmer's Market Restaurant.
Oh, by the way, I got home the other day, and this is no lie. Sweet Melissa was vacuuming
the driveway.
Holy moly.
We have two driveways, one in the front, and we added on to the house and built this big garage, so we have two. She was out there. She had one of those battery-operated rechargeable. She was out there. I said, well, I've finally driven her crazy. Living with me for 49 years has finally just driven her off. I was really worried.
Vacuuming the driveway.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I was looking for her, and I went to the front of the house and looked out there, and there she was. But there was a good reason, because we just had the aluminum company just put all new windows in our house. And apparently when the dumpster was in our driveway, mm-hmm. and apparently they thought they had picked up all of it,
right?
But there were still some out there, and we wanted to make sure. Melissa wanted to make sure that the grandchildren, especially
little feet, didn't get.
That's right. So she was out there, but I thought it was really smart.
Yeah.
To get out there and vacuum it. So, but I'm sure to the neighbors it must have looked a little odd. She won't do it again, probably. But, I just thought I'd share that.
She's going to whack you upside the head.
No, I told her I was going to. I told her I was going to tell.
Yeah.
That's just Melissa. She's got that engineering brain. She's not an engineer, but her father was, and she's got the same kind of brain.
Yeah, I would have loved to have met him.
Oh, yes. You would have loved him. He was just such a nice, smart, practical man. You may have.
I probably did and didn't know it, because I was such friends with L.C. Williams of the L.C. Williams Oil Company, Cecil Williams, or Cecil.
And back then, the Reeves were that was the well-known folks, well-known family back there in town. A lot of people still know them.
But one time there was a Reeves on the county commissioners. Was that one of Melissa's?
Mr. Reeves was on the school board. I don't think he was a commissioner. They tried to get him to run for the legislature, but he didn't want to do that. Ed Holmes, the great Ed Holmes, tried to get him to do that. But maybe the smartest man I ever met. He was so practical in many ways too, and adding the practicality, the common sense, and being just a really, really smart person, intelligent person, that, 919-860-9783. So any tips for dealing with this heat? And, we've already talked about watering, but give us some practical hints on what we need to be doing to keep plants alive. What's proper watering?
Well, obviously, if you can water early in the morning, that's most helpful. Plants can perform and take that water up better than it evaporating or just not getting into the plant system. So, and then trying to shoot for kind of a deep watering. So, if you water and you feel like water is sort of puddling, then move on to the next plant and then come back and revisit and water again, because you want the water to just slowly soak in. It's not like you're trying to just water the surface. And I've even been known to, take my finger or stick or something and just kind of prod a little hole and make sure that water is going deep so that it's just not evaporating or not getting to the roots. So deep watering early, those are two big tips.
Now, Carrie used to give away, many years ago, they gave away to everybody in town a little tuna can,
mm-hmm.
basically a tuna can, and so it's an inch deep. And you put that out in your yard with the sprinkler system, and I guess when that fills up, you've put an inch of water, theoretically, in that space.
That's true. I don't know. Well, first of all, I guess I can address that. I'll just say, if you can let your grass if you have fescue, let it go sort of dormant.
I'll tell you, she's dormant right now.
just trying to conserve water. And I think I'm speaking more of ornamental plants and vegetable plants, and keeping those items watered. And if you have small vegetable gardens, replenish with some pine fronds or something of that nature, just to help keep that moisture locked in. Another thing is, you know, if you have peppers or tomatoes, you really don't want to water. Again, we talked about watering or early in the morning. You don't want to really water the foliage, especially if there's already fruit on there, because then that sun's going to come up and it's going to hit the water on, say, the side of your bell pepper, your tomato, and then with the heat and the intensity of the sun, you can scald that particular plant. So you'll want to avoid that. This I know because I have one area that I'm using, you know, some overhead irrigation, and that's kind of what happens. It comes on very early in the morning. Granted, the plants are producing and doing really well, but on the south side, the fruit is still wet and that sun's hitting it and it's blistering it a little bit.
But those
are three practices, and then of course keeping yourself hydrated and pacing yourself. Andrea, what you got, gal?
Yeah, this or you know, the watering or anything else, Andrea?
Well, my pet peeve is, you know, take the sprayer off your hose if you're watering with a hose,
rather than
a sprinkler or something else. Take the sprayer off, because all you do with the sprayer is you splatter soil up onto the leaves, which is just detrimental to plants.
Drip irrigation is good, too.
Or ornamental, yeah. So, you know, you want to simulate, if you're watering with the hose, which is what I do, you want to simulate a slow drip. You know, it takes more time, but it's much better for the plants to, you know, you water the soil, not the leaves.
Yeah, I always say take those off. I mean, it drives people batty because I'm like, no, that's what you wash your car with, not your plants. But
not that hard, and it's so harsh, you know.
And so one thing also that, you know, even as many veggies as if I planted, I like to put wheat straw around the base for exactly what you said. You don't want that soil splattering, or whether it's rain or whether you know, you're watering, you don't want that soil to splash up on the foliage. Another thing, this is kind of a silly little tip, but, you know, I know Japanese beetles are getting ready to come out, and, you know, people want to come in and just whatever, spray, kill. You know, I kind of get it, but then I'm like, you know, God, crepe myrtle has like really been blooming since kind of the end of May,
and they
flower like off a new growth so easily. I mean, buds can form in 3 weeks. So I'm like, well, just prune off whatever blooms. That's what the Japanese beetles are after, and they'll reset, and then 3 weeks later, hopefully the Japanese beetles are gone. So, you know, there's little tricks, little tips of certain things you can do. Same thing if you have the knockout roses and things like that. Just prune them back. They're going to bud right back up and give you a fresher look, fresh color, but you eradicate or eliminate, you know, you'll have less of the Japanese beetles.
We've got bugs in the garden, squash beetles and all kinds of stuff out there, too. You have any? What do you use for that?
I'm using an insecticidal soap. So the last 2 years, my vegetable garden has been, you know, great. And, you know, I do a small garden, limited stuff, and I guess my beginner's luck has run out.
Because
I'm much more of an ornamental gardener than a vegetable gardener.
Yeah.
So
this
year, just everything I planted, peppers, peas, a tomato plant, was just, like, eaten alive almost immediately. So I did my research, and I ended up purchasing a commercial organic brand of insecticidal soap, and began spraying that every 5 to 10 days, and it seems to have done the trick.
Okay. I typically don't put really anything on my veggies, other than like deer spray and you know,
the I Must Garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But you know, again, I feel like homeowners have, you know, what, 12 plants, 15 plants, less than that, 3 plants, 5 plants.
Uh huh.
You know, it takes 5 minutes to go outside every morning. Just, I mean, you look, you pick see them, you pick leaves, you squish them. You know, I just find that's easy monitoring, and I feel good about it, too. I squish those little stink bugs.
And used to like the the Japanese beetles.
Yeah. Pop their little heads. But so, I don't know, that's just...
I don't necessarily see them, though, that even when I spray them, there's nothing. I'm like...
Well, that could be, but, you know, just in general, if you've had issues with aphids or Japanese beetles or stink bugs, you're probably going to find them more either really early in the morning or late in the evening is when you're going to find them more active. Not late in the evening, but they're starting to kind of they're kind of starting to slow down. So they're probably there during the heat of the day. But if you catch them at the end of the day, then squish them. You know, for example, my mother's blackberries. I have done one application of the pyrethrin. And that seems to help. I'll need to follow up and do another application. We get not the Japanese beetles, well, Japanese beetles, but we get those large June bugs. So I'm just starting to scout and see a few of those. So I'll do a spraying of the pyrethrins.
Almost never see them anymore.
Oh, my God. Come to the farm.
Really?
Pick all the blackberries
I
you
guess
want.
I just don't have what they want. I saw them all over the place when I was a kid.
Yeah. But, Andrea, yeah, I try and be pretty minimal. It is frustrating, but, you know, again, if you have 6 plants, 12 plants, I think it's probably easier to monitor. I think doing the safer soap is fine. You know, being smart about when you do it, you know, preferably, you know, either very early or very late. It's overcast or, but, you know, just monitoring best you can, minimal spray. That's just, you know, picking leaves off.
The last 2 years, nothing. I had no,
And mulching.
You'll get it. You'll figure it out.
One of my favorite things is hibiscus. And of course, we know Japanese beetles love the leaves. I don't panic on that because I think, Let them feed there, and they seem to go on away from my property to somebody else. Yeah. So I grow plenty of hibiscus.
Yeah.
That's the answer. And grow a lot.
And there are a few things, like some of the dinner plate hibiscus, that can get the little, I call it a skeletonizer, but it looks like a little tiny worm, and they just eradicate the foliage. And
the flower still comes.
Yeah, but in that situation, though, I mean, they can ruin a plant. Then, you know, you may have to do something like a permethrin, not a pyrethrin, but a permethrin. You know, you gotta choose your battles.
Right.
Right.
You know, there are battles, and then there are battles with your car. For instance, you're battling the heat, just like with everything else. And, you know, I think being proactive in anything, whether it's your health or your car's health, it's always a good idea. I mean, and you need to go to a place like King's Auto Service where they treat you like royalty. They really do treat you well because there's so many. You're talking about smart people. They're all ASE certified technicians. They have hybrid certified technicians there, and they can do a once over for your car. If you're going to sell it, you want to get it checked over, make sure whether you're buying or selling, for that matter. And they can do most anything for most cars except for the European cars and a lot of some electric car repair that they're doing. They're getting more into that. Not that electric cars always need that much maintenance, but, you know, they're battery with those things. So get a courtesy battery check for your 12-volt battery. You know, those things seem to last only 3 years or so now. And so get them checked. You don't want to get it stuck with a car that won't start. And, you know, this heat is really killing those batteries along with other parts of the car. So get it checked. Be proactive. Go to King's Auto Service and get the air conditioning checked, all of that stuff, because you're going to need air conditioning all summer long here in North Carolina. And they have great warranties on their work, and
and you know, a lot of specialties there. It's a wonderful place. Dean Bailey has quite a great reputation, as does King's, and they've been in business since 1946 in downtown Raleigh. They're on West Street. Call them on Monday. King's Auto Service. All right, Mary Ann is with us. Mary Ann, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Your jokes are just fantastic.
Thanks.
I know it's hot, and I know my hydrangeas were absolutely gorgeous this year, but I need to prune them. Is it too soon to prune them? I know you prune things after they bloom, other plants, other shrub or whatever.
Yeah. It depends on what kind of hydrangea they are.
Okay, this is the old-timey ones, and I also have the snowflake ones.
Rufus, what's your mantra?
My mantra is I don't prune anything this time of year.
Okay.
When it's hot like that, on hydrangeas, I wait. I think the spent blooms are pretty. I just leave it for
well,
a while.
Well, and if it is the old-fashioned, they're going to flower off of old wood. So typically, you know, if yours have flowered, I'm okay pruning it because you're just going to set yourself up for more blooms. The other thing is if you have hydrangeas that blooms that are burnt, cut them back. It's just going to make the plant stronger for future flowers.
Well, that's what I thought. Some of them are under the tree. They're not as bad, but the ones that have been really exposed to the sun,
they're
oh my
fried.
Gosh, they
yeah.
look terrible, and I don't like to prune, but I have.
Yeah,
they
just
really look bad.
Snip
really
back good. A couple buds or a few buds past that, and you should be good to go.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Appreciate you calling. Good question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
I would really that one. When you cut back to the two buds. Is there any chance that you get another bloom? People ask that all the time. And I guess, like Andreas did, it depends on what kind of hydrangea it is. But I don't know of one that reblooms when you've cut it back in the same season. Do you? Any of you?
A hydrangea that reblooms in the same season?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that there are. There are some that you will have that will flower heavy in May. And if you nip them back, they very well can flower or form buds again in the fall. Absolutely.
Well, I want to get some then. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. You know, and I've had some growers that have, you know, kind of pruned hard in May or late May, and then by late September, October, they look premium. They come into our garden centers. They're stunning. So, yeah.
Okay.
So Chuck has a... I just showed you the picture, an all gold juniper, and he loves it, but he says it's kind of drooping a bit. Does it need water, or has he overwatered it, do you think? Of course,
well,
you don't know his watering habits.
Exactly.
But, what do you see in this picture?
I mean, it's possible if it's a new plant. What I would say is just, you know, if you used good soil amendments and you know that it's not planted in heavy clay. If you're giving that plant somewhere between 1 gallon to 2 gallons a week, you should be fine. So it is looking a little droopy, but if it's been watered in the last 3 days, I wouldn't water it.
It looks, I mean, I can't.
Let me see that again. Zoom in on it for me.
Here. It's pretty green.
Yeah. Let's see.
Did you say it's an evergreen?
It's a all gold juniper.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
It looks a little different than all gold. It looks like one of the shore junipers, the Junipers conferta. So, I mean, again, you definitely don't want to overwater because you can't reverse that. Couple gallons a week. Yep.
All right. Very good. We're almost out of time. Andrea, anything else from you, dear lady?
No.
Well, Andrea,
all right, dadgummit.
You mentioned that cool mountain water you get right out of the faucet. Does it come directly from the spring with no kind of filtration or something like that? Anything like that?
Exactly.
Wonderful. No cattle farms up headstream, right?
No, there isn't. There isn't.
That is wonderful. That's how I grew up.
Do you take
up.
A drink every once in a while?
Oh, just this is that's like magic. That's how I grew up.
We put a little vodka in it.
Our drinking water came from a spring. Oh,
and there are little seeps all around the mountain too. So, you know, which is sometimes a problem. You know, when it comes into your garden and suddenly there's like, where's all this water coming from? The seep out of the.
How about that?
Well, that's to be expected.
Andrea,
yeah,
please
nice
join
to
us
be here today.
Please join us again soon.
I will. You know, I will.
Okay. Well, I'll be in touch. But we love having you on, and hope you have a nice, cool summer.
Thank you.
Take care.
So Andrea Lane, who used to be a Durham Master Gardener, she's a Mitchell County Master Gardener now up in the mountains. So that's great. Miss Nelson, thank you. Have a good time
at the
beach.
Thank you for having me. And
yes,
ma'am. Don't forget the garden sale at Logan's.
All right.
Logan's Garden.
Yeah, get you a hydrangea.
Yeah.
And Brother Rufus, you take a nap, and we'll see you next week.
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
Go
Jason,
pack.
yeah, go pack. Jason, take it easy, buddy. Thank you all for all you do. And God love you. We love all of you.